Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to our meeting of remembrance. I'd now ask our brother to come forward and give us a reading from Romans chapter 6 and also the first five verses of Romans chapter 12.
Now is the time for us to receive a word of exhortation from our brother James.
Right. Exciting times. Okay. Good morning, everyone. What a fantastic morning it is. So our title for this morning is Spread Your Wings. So you didn't realise this, but yesterday the prayers of your now brothers and sisters ascended to God. Their angels were celebrating in heaven, and these were some of the thoughts that we had. You're actually quite cute. What happened? All right, so this morning we're going to start off with this really nice looking chap. Eric Carle, he wrote a book in 1969. And it's a book that I read to dogs. Many of you read to your children. Your parents read to you, and there'd be some grandparents here that read this book to their grandchildren. It's sold 50 million copies. It's been translated, I think, into something like 66 languages. Well, Eric Carle passed away a couple of weeks ago. He was 92. On the night that he passed away in Adelaide, in Kings Park to be precise, Sophie and I had our penultimate class together. That class finished with Acts chapter 8, the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. And the final conversation you and I had that night was, all he wanted to do was be shown water. And all you wanted to do from the first time we got together was to be shown water. What's the book? The book is called The Very Hungry Caterpillar. So The Very Hungry Caterpillar was first shown under the light of the moon on a Saturday night as a little egg. You can see him, because it's a hymn, they're just a little white dot. And very early on Sunday morning, the egg hatches, and this newly born insect is revealed as a caterpillar. So, for illustrative purposes solely, let's come up with a name for this little grub. Let's call the grub, just for no other reason than it's a good name, Mr. Sophie the Grub. Now, I know that it's a boy grub in the story, but I know plenty of girl grubs too, and I just want to thank all the Marks. So Mark Kerr has done some pretty amazing work with Sophie's face to improve it here. Great work from Super Dad Mark Collett. Mark Sanderson. So if your name is either James or Mark, you are destined to do something for Sophie this afternoon. Well, Mark, she was really a cute grub, right? So the word grub comes into play in about 1300 BC in English, and it means to dig around in the earth. Of course, the word grub stems from the Middle Dutch word, which I can't pronounce because there's too many R's and B's in it, and an old High German word, Ralph, which, Grubelung, something like that, which means to dig or to search. And by the 1500s, people began using the term grub to describe food. Well, Mr. Sophie the Grub, she was very, very hungry. Very soon she begins to look for something to eat. He eats through increasingly vast quantities of fruit from Monday through to Friday. And at the end of every day, there was the refrain, but he was still hungry until Saturday. Well, Saturday was a bad day for Mr. Sophie the Grub. Eats a bit of cake, ice cream, a pickle, Ed, a pickle. slice of Swiss cheese, salami, a lollipop, a piece of cherry pie, a sausage, a cupcake. Ah, and all washed down with a slice of watermelon. But that night, Mr. Sophie had such a stomach ache from overeating. Oh dear, Mr. Sophie. But the next day, begins by eating one delicious, nutritious green leaf. And the caterpillar is no longer hungry, and it's no longer little. Mr. Sophie has grown into quite a big, fat grub. It has a voracious appetite. So one thing which I'd like to share with you was that I think in the 20 or so weeks that Sophie and I shared together, I think we missed one. It's pretty hungry. Yes, it's quite a big grub. So I want to spend some time just thinking about this idea that Paul describes for us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 about being transformed. We understand this idea quite well. It's the idea of, the Greek word is transliterated into English as metamorphosis. So Paul uses this miraculous change that Mr. Sophie is about to go through to describe a reformation, a revolution, a transformation that God requires of all of his saints. 1 Corinthians 6 describes the behaviour of grubs. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. So unjust people who don't care about God will not be joining in his kingdom. Those who use and abuse each other, use and abuse sex, use and abuse the earth and everything in it, they will just not qualify as citizens in God's kingdom. And we read this morning, thanks Jim, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies like a king so that you obey its evil desires. In fact, don't offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness. So Romans 6 means that we mustn't give sin a vote in the way that we conduct our lives. Don't give sin the time of day. Don't even let sin run small, innocuous errands. See, all of these activities are connected with the life of a grub. And such were some of me, says Paul. None of us were any different. What Paul asks us to do is to put that grub to death. Grub is a pretty evocative word. Grub. Grubby. Now, if I was to ask who you think the biggest grub was, who comes to mind? We might think about politics, but what automatically came to my mind was people involved in sport. So when we consider that, we've got a guy like Mike Tyson who, he bit a black's ear off. That's the act of a grub. David Warner, Lance Armstrong, Tonya Harding. Some of you guys might not remember her, but what she did was get her husband to hobble an ice skating competitor by the name of Nancy Kerrigan so she couldn't compete in the Winter Olympics. Well, Tonya Harding, she went on to become a successful boxer and a reality TV star of sorts. Well, of course she did. AFL, if we're thinking about a grub in AFL, I think everyone will come up with the name Toby Green. In 2019, there was a tribute of sorts to him where it described the Toby Green Honorary All Grub Team nominations, of which he was named captain. Now, the term grub in rugby league, it almost goes with the territory. There's a poor bloke that used to play for Canterbury. His nickname was the grub, and he was a grub, so he had it both ways. And he played with another grub called Michael Innes. But in sport, I reckon there's the biggest grub of them all was this bloke here. So why was Tiger Woods considered, not just by sporting people, but by the general public, to be a grub with the morals of an alley cat? Well, the greatest golfer of all time had such a public fall from grace because of his serial adultery and the absolute shame and embarrassment he caused his wife and his children. So even the world said, Tiger Woods, you're a grub. So how does Mike Tyson, Lance Armstrong, Tiger Woods recover from this? How do we as servants of Christ recover from being grubs? Now perhaps our grubbiness isn't splashed on the front pages of newspapers or all over social media yet. But the Bible really does give us the answer. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it reads, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed." It's the same Greek word to be transformed. "Into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Well, maybe mirrors have two jobs. One is to offer the reflection and maybe give 7 years of bad luck if we break it. But when we look into a mirror, sometimes we don't always like what we see. But the mirror doesn't tell us any lies, so we can't deny our own reflection. The King James Version says, "We are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another." A mirror can't see what's happening or what's being transformed on the inside as a superficial view looking from the outside. Paul is saying that the Lord Jesus Christ is and will change our hearts from one degree of glory. Our change, our transformation happens by degrees. Every day we're trying to look and be and present ourselves more like the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we remember today. It's not a 90 degree change, is it, brothers and sisters? We have to take baby steps. So the object of this verse is, when we appear before the Lord of all of the earth, that when Jesus looks at us, he's seeing himself, not Sophie, not James, but Jesus is looking at himself. That is the reflection. Now, I thought about, how is it possible for Jesus to look at himself when he's looking at James? And the only conclusion I could reach was that if Jesus gave us his eyes, so if Jesus gives us his eyes and we have his eyes and we look, we see the Master, well, then we are looking at a reflection of Jesus. Is that what Jesus is seeing now when he looks at us? I was so nervous about the IT, I didn't want to add the baptism pic lest it all went kaput. I did get some pics, Sophie. The contrast in the end of verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 6 is, "And such were some of you way back then, but now you are washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." So today, Soph, you're brand new. You're a new person. You still have this ridiculously, uproariously loud laugh, but you're a newer, better, fresher, cleaner, shinier brand new than what you were about an hour ago. So your brothers and sisters at Hyde Park, thank you for reminding us of what our baptism was. For some of us, only a few months ago. For some of us, a few decades ago. And for one of us, about a century ago. So here we all are, sons and daughters of the living God. But you're only brand new because you answered your good conscience. You've chosen to repent. You've chosen to change your life. You've chosen to believe in eternal things. So if we can't give our Father in heaven very much, but what we can give him is belief. So it was your choice. So that could be a good name for a book or a movie. It was your choice to die today, and you've also committed to dying a little bit every day. You need to be crucified daily. You've said, "It's going to be my honour to be buried today," because Jesus, you were buried in a tomb for me. Anyway, back to the very hungry caterpillar. So once the caterpillar has eaten the pickles and the salami, he forms this amazing cocoon and wraps himself in this chrysalis as protection. Really well illustrated. We probably might even remember that little illustration of the chrysalis in Eric Carle's book. And it's a really interesting metaphor for what happens during a baptism. "We were therefore," Romans 6 verse 4, "buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." So this now really big, fat, healthy caterpillar wraps and spins his chrysalis around himself, and once inside, he stays inside for at least 2 weeks. And after 2 weeks, the caterpillar nibbles a little hole in the chrysalis and has to force and struggle and push his way out. And that force and struggle is absolutely necessary. Paul spends some time talking about baptism and its similarities to death. So I want to think about Mr. Sophie for a moment inside of the chrysalis. What's the grub thinking about? What is happening inside of this darkness? Does the brain still work? Does the heart still beat? Because I think we know the end of the story. So what's going on? The Bible talks about death as a sleep, as a rest. But inside the chrysalis, it's far from a rest. It is like a catatonic insect recycling activity. See, inside the cocoon, the grub is transforming into a new creature. The old caterpillar, this is going to get a bit, right? The old caterpillar is being broken down to be turned into something new. It digests itself. So all of the food it's eating inside its stomach, the enzymes are breaking it down and giving it energy, helping it to grow. Those same enzymes are now eating the caterpillar from the inside out. They're called juvenile hormones. And those juvenile hormones are full of prime butterfly-making material. So, unseen, Sophie, the caterpillar is changing. It is being renewed. A bit like my computer needs to be renewed. Now, I want to tell a little story here, so just let me get to my story. So a man found the cocoon of a monarch butterfly. And he was watching it. And one day a little opening appeared. He sat and he watched this butterfly for several hours as it was struggling to force itself through the little hole. And then it stopped. And the man got a bit nervous. And out of pure kindness, he grabbed a little pair of scissors and cut away at that little hole. And much to his relief, outburst a caterpillar. Well, he was relieved because it looked like it was stuck. But although the butterfly emerged quite easily, it still had a fat, swollen body and it had really small, shriveled wings. Man didn't think much of it. He thought the butterfly would get all right. It would be all right eventually. And he just waited for the wings to enlarge and support the butterfly to see it fly off, but it never did. The butterfly spent the rest of its life unable to fly, crawling around with tiny deformed wings and a swollen body. Despite the kindness of the man, he didn't understand that the struggle, the restricting cocoon, was necessary to get the butterfly to force itself through the small opening. It's God's way of regenerating the fluid inside of the body into the wings to allow the wings to support the weight of this new creature. See, it's preparing itself for flying once it's out of the cocoon. Sophie, our struggles in life are to develop our strengths, and without struggles, we're never going to grow and we're never going to ever going to get stronger. It's important for us to accept our difficulties and tackle some challenges head on, sometimes on our own. Well, not quite on our own, not anymore, not ever, because there is nothing that you will go through that Jesus hasn't already gone through. And today, he's had a chat in heaven with an angel. And he's asked that angel to be your angel, to be your carer, your supporter, and sometimes your tester and your trier. And that angel is probably the one that's celebrating the most loudly, singing the loudest, dancing the loudest in heaven right now. Life is hard sometimes, Soph. Sometimes we just have to be prepared to spread our wings and fly. To be transformed means to undergo a complete change, because that butterfly doesn't resemble anything like a little grub that went into the chrysalis. So the metaphor of the transformation that occurs in butterflies is a miracle not unlike the miracle of a new child of God being born. From a little grub weaving the safety of a chrysalis into something more beautiful. And it's amazing. So when Paul says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, "Be ye transformed," we can look at this image and we can get it. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Jesus said, be born again. Paul said, walk in newness of life. So God is asking you to become something that you have never been before. His child, Jesus' seed, Abraham's seed. God is asking you to spread your wings and fly. He is asking you to soar like you never have before. That's one of the reasons why you have to remember Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to 29. Word for word next time. Okay. Just so we get it, we have to think about the context of what Paul said, be transformed, right? He starts off in verse 2 by saying, don't be conformed to this world. So the context is to present our bodies as a living sacrifice every day, holy and acceptable to God. This is your true and proper worship. It's not negotiable. So here's the thing. Paul's saying, take your everyday, your ordinary life, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're going to school, you're walking around life, and make it something extraordinary. Make it extraordinary by devoting our bodies as a living offering to God. Our bodies, not our hearts, not our minds, that comes later. Now, do we wonder if in heaven the angel that was responsible for this idea of metamorphosis just scratches his head. Had one job to do, create a metamorphosis. If I create this, people understand just what Jesus achieved when he died and how that relates to them. So what society has done with this amazing image is to turn it into a tattoo so that they can take a photo in order for people to click the like button. Well, I like this little phrase by Charles Spurgeon. He once wrote, I will never glory in God till first of all God has killing my glory in myself. Anyway, so most stories I read about tattoos involve teenagers and alcohol, and this is perhaps one of the best. At a party, a friend of mine got tattooed by a guy who was so drunk he forgot to use ink. Well, I think that was a pretty good save for that guy right there. But to be conformed to this world equals just slotting into it like a hand inside a glove. So here's the point. We need to protect and value our bodies and not succumb to what the world thinks is acceptable or what the world thinks is normal. We need to value our morality. We need to value our values. Maybe one too many values in that little phrase there, but we also need to love and to be loved. We need to love the Lord Jesus Christ, who we remember today gave his life for us. Being not conformed to this world is as important to God as praying or singing a hymn or reading. Does it mean that if we do have a tattoo that somehow this mars our relationship with God? Well, no, it doesn't. But it just might be an example of conformity to a world that sometime later we might live to regret. So the Barges have got to know Sophie pretty well over the last couple of months. Sister Sophie is a resilient, observant, transformed young man, woman, Mr. Sophie. It's too confusing. But we've grown to love you, and we've also grown to admire you. It's a nice feeling to be loved. There's a warmth to it. There's a comfort to it. Now you're going to have to get used to the fact that everyone in this meeting is going to give you some love. Good thing. So Sophie, with her ridiculous and uproarious laugh, will be a great asset to the Hyde Park Ecclesia. Now, well, Sophie does have some amazing traits. You just need to be a bit careful of her because she's a well-known pool hustler. Anyway, that probably cost me a couple hundred bucks, that shot. Well played, so. What do we want to conform to? Do we want to conform to better grades, better job, better car, better house, better bank balance, better relationships? We always think about the circumstances needing to change, but what God thinks about is us changing. So the question isn't what, but who should I conform to? So Sophie, what does God require of you? Much like the monarch butterfly, you know, this homogeneous chicken starts off as an egg and hatches into a beautiful, sweet, cute, chicky chick, and then transforms again, finally into one of the world's most amazing things, one of the most amazing things known to man. Oh, hang on, no, before that. No, that's not right either, although that does sort of go some way to describe a chicken's attempt at transformation. The clear message, Sophie, for servants of God who follow Jesus is to spend much less time conforming to the world's expectations and to devote our time to other people, to others, to practice kindness. Not to say, but to do. And when we do say, we speak the truth in love. Even when sometimes our kindness is not only unreciprocated, but turned against us. There was a blind girl, and she hated being blind. She hated herself for that fact. And the only person she didn't hate was her boyfriend. He was loving, he was always there for her. She said that if she could only see the world, she would marry him. Well, one day someone donated a pair of eyes to her. Now she could see everything, including her boyfriend. And a boyfriend said to her, "Now you can see everything in the world, will you marry me now?" The girl was shocked when she saw that her boyfriend was also blind. And she refused to marry him. And as she walked up, as she left, the boyfriend sobbed and said to her, "Oh, this bit, please look after my eyes." Sometimes, so if you're going to do everything you possibly can for good and people will let you down. Sometimes it'll be friends, sometimes it'll be family, sometimes it'll be people in the meeting, but it doesn't mean that Jesus was ever wrong. It just means we're all human. You're going to be cut, you're going to get bruised. You've found a way to get up and you're just going to have to keep getting up. Jesus gave you his eyes. He gave you his hands, he gave you his feet, he gave you his side, he gave you his life. Just do your best not to let him down. So, speaking of transformation, transformation is a process that occurs by degrees, by subtle changes. Sometimes the changes are so subtle even people that we love can't see them. Some days there'll be moments on mountaintops and there'll be other days where we're in the deep valleys of despair. But just remember this. Butterflies and caterpillars don't just look different, they behave differently. And one of them is crawling around on a branch and the other flies in the air and one eats leaves and the other one eats nectar. When Eric Carle wrote that book, he was asked many years later why he wrote it. And he said, "I remember that as a child, I always felt I would never grow up and be big and articulate and intelligent." Caterpillar, he said, is a book of hope. And he said, "You too can grow up and grow wings." Lepidoptera is the ancient Greek word to describe the order of insects that includes butterflies and moths. There is 180,000 different species, 126 families, 46 superfamilies. In fact, 10% of the total described organisms in the world are from this family. It is one of the most widespread and widely recognisable insect orders in the world. It represents literally billions of creatures, an innumerable host undergoing a metamorphosis, just like we are. The monarch butterfly has two migrations a year, one in summer, one in winter. It's been described as one of the most spectacular natural phenomena in the world. It is so big, the group of butterflies, sometimes comprising 500,000 in a single cloud, that it affects radar. People look at it and they think it is a cloud. And they fly as high as the clouds. They get onto thermals and they're flying at 31 kilometres an hour. So the Bible talks about another cloud. Paul says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame, is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Sophie, this morning God has given you wings and you have joined a cloud. You have joined the Hyde Park cloud. Just before Jesus endured the cross, he also underwent a metamorphosis. We remember it as the word transfiguration. It's the same word. And that was a prelude to another metamorphosis, which we know as the resurrection. It's no coincidence that Jesus' last action on earth was to fly into heaven, and his first action when he returns to earth. The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with him in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so will we ever be with the Lord. Jesus, with healing in his wings, says he'll come. He will come. And when that happens, Soph, we will all be changed. So the life cycle of the caterpillar finally concludes after the grub enters the chrysalis. Our very hungry caterpillar, Mr. Sophie, emerges when he, she, they, we develop into a butterfly with large, gorgeous, beautiful, multicoloured wings, an infectious laugh and a beautiful smile. The sign out the front of the shop said puppies for sale, and signs like this have always attracted young children, and no surprise, when a little girl saw the sign, she approached the owner. "How much are you going to sell the puppies for?" The little girl pulled out some change. "I've got $2.35. Can I have a look at them?" Shop owner smiled and whistled, and out of the kennel came Lady, who ran down the aisle of his shop, followed by five teeny weeny balls of fur, but one of them was lagging quite considerably behind. And immediately that girl singled out that lagging, limping puppy and said, "What's wrong with that little dog?" The shop owner explained that the vet had examined that little puppy and it had a hip disorder. It actually didn't have a hip socket. It would always limp. It would always be lame. And it was just then that the little girl got really excited. "That's the puppy I want to buy." The shop owner said, "Look, you don't really want to buy that one. I'll give it to you." And she got really upset and offended by that. The little girl was really upset, and so she looked straight into the owner's eyes. He pouted and then pointed and said this, "I don't want you to give him to me. That little dog is worth every bit as much as the other dogs. In fact, I'll pay full price. I'll give you the $2.35, and however much it costs, I'll give you 50 cents a month until I pay for him in full." And the shop owner said, "Look, don't want to buy that puppy. It's never going to run with you. It's never going to play with you. It's never going to be able to jump like all of the other puppies." And to his surprise, the girl pulled up her trouser leg to show a distorted, crippled left leg that was supported by a big metal brace. She looked up at the shop owner and softly replied, "Well, I don't run so well myself. And that little puppy needs someone who understands." Having each other gave them wings. There are times when, Sophie, you might not be able to walk, let alone run. Like Keith and Jan right now. They are the times when all we've got left is to pray to Jesus to give us wings.